Welcome in to another episode of the Rockets Wire Extra podcast. Rockets Wire Extra, of course, is a brand of the USA Today Sports Media Group. My name is Ben Dubose, editor of Rockets Wire, and today I'm thrilled to welcome in a very special guest, Gretchen Scheer, president of business operations for the Houston Rockets. Gretchen, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're thrilled to have you. We've done this in the past, sort of a season preview with Tad Brown, who was CEO. Now, I know it's a different title, but it's effectively a very similar role in terms of the head of business operations for the Rockets. And we've previewed the seasons with him in the past. So I'm thrilled to do it with you now that you've gotten the promotion. And I guess first things first, congratulations. You've been on the job, what, 4 months now, I think? It was mid-May when you started?
Yeah, officially. Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, I know officially
20,
because there was
20 years before that.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good place to start. For anyone that doesn't know you, other than I'm sure they've read the press release and the initial round of promo that went out, but for anyone that's not familiar with you, since this is your first year in such a forward-facing role, tell everybody a little bit about your 20 years with the Rockets and what sort of led you to this.
Yeah, so I started 20 years ago. Just I had a job out of college, and then I got the opportunity to have an account executive role in the ticketing department at the final years of Compaq Center. So I started on June 27th, 2001. As a ticket sales account executive. And around that same time, I think we broke ground on Toyota Center a couple of weeks after I started with the organization. So one of the first things that I did was got to go to a groundbreaking and stand in the background as they were building this awesome building. And so, you know, we were a tenant at Compaq Center. The sports landscape was very different back then. So we were a relatively small company. And as we were building Toyota Center, and the team was obviously changing, we had the opportunity to draft Yao Ming shortly after that. And so filling Toyota Center was really important. And there was a lot of career opportunity and new positions being developed in the organization to run and operate this building. And so I got the chance to start a new sales department that hadn't existed before. And then when we got into the arena, that department had been pretty successful. So then I was the director of sales and service, and mainly oversaw most of our season ticket holders. And then the suite department came under that department a little bit. And then about in 2010, I became the vice president of all of ticketing. So that was all of ticket sales and all of suites that happened at Toyota Center. A few years after that, we did a strategic alignment with all of our revenue, and I became the chief revenue officer. So I got more involved in sponsorships and our business intelligence and analytics department. And then that led me to my role now.
Yeah, and again, congratulations on that. And of course, one of the cool things about your role, you've worked with both Les Alexander when you came on, and now the past 5 years with Tillman Fertitta. So in a way, you've sort of bridged two iterations of the franchise. And I think it's great to see them reward someone that's had such a key role for a long time. Well, I should say roles, plural, because you've done so many different things over your 20 years. As far as what you're doing now and your current duties, I mentioned earlier that you're effectively replacing Tad Brown. The title is different. You're president of business operations. He was CEO. But for anyone who isn't quite familiar with, I guess, the role now that's a different title, basically, what are you in charge of? What's your day-to-day and, I guess, year-to-year like, for that matter?
Yeah, so year-to-year, I don't know. I will let you know in a year from now. Day-to-day has been, in some aspects, pretty similar to what I have been doing before because, you know, my primary responsibility prior to that was, you know, also on the business operations side for the Rockets. So working with all of our clients, our fans, working really closely with the marketing department to make sure that we're delivering a great experience. Toyota Center, you know, obviously that is under our umbrella. And in my previous role, I worked really closely with the arena because of our partnership activation and our suite sales. All of that was combined. So I think kind of the biggest difference for me is the facility operations, the booking of the building, and all of that rolls under me as well. So that's been, you know, I've spent a good amount of time over these last couple of months just making sure I'm familiar and ingrained in those processes as well.
So as far as the Rockets, there's some new things that have happened the last few months. The New Jersey Patch sponsor, you've got a couple of new partnerships as well. We'll talk about all things that have happened under your watch since you officially took over the job in mid-May. But I want to start with just a big picture Rockets question, because I think it's even more applicable to the business side and the basketball side. How much of a relief was June 22nd when the draft lottery results came in? And the reason I say that I think it's even more for the business side than basketball, I talked to Rafael a lot through the process, Rafael Stone, general manager, of course. And I think in terms of basketball, they're fairly calm because, hey, if the lottery didn't go your way, the pick swap activated and you fell back to 18, then there are other years, there are other ways that you can build a team. And Rafael is very comfortable that he has the right team in place. And so I think, you know, it's easy for him to say, you know, yeah, it's a great reward now that it happened, but it wasn't necessarily the be-all, end-all. However, from a business perspective, when you talk about promoting and marketing this team, clearly Jalen Green is a potential face of the franchise type player. Everyone's excited about him. You've got three other first-round picks as well that came in. And it just has to be so helpful to the business side, I would suspect, that there's something tangible that you can point to now to tell fans, to tell clients, this is why the Houston Rockets are exciting. There's a buzz factor. It's not like you're just abstractly saying, hey, we're in a rebuild, but we hope down the line that, you know, we'll get the right draft picks or free agents or whatever it is. There's something tangible you can point to now with Jalen Green and these other young prospects that you've brought in over the past 12 months or so that really give the franchise a buzz factor that it's sometimes hard to do when you're coming off a year that you had the league's worst record. Now, I understand the worst record was a product of the crazy wave of injuries and all that kind of stuff. But I just think from a business perspective, it has to mean so much that the lottery went your way, and at least for this coming year, that you have something tangible that you can point to, be it fans, clients, whoever it is, to sort of, again, just create a buzz factor with this team. Is that sort of the sense that you get when you talk to people?
Yeah, I mean, we have like all the faith in the world in Rafael and coach and our basketball staff. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that this draft was going to be really exciting. We had multiple picks regardless of what happened in the lottery. So we knew we were going to have a good story to tell. We knew we were going to be a younger team. We knew we were going to be excited. So we felt really confident in that direction. But then when things go your way and you have those top picks, they just don't come around that often. And they don't come around that often when you have someone as charismatic and as talented as Jalen. And so it definitely was a refreshing time to be able to turn the page and really go into the future with both feet. And we're excited about it. Our marketing team is thrilled about it. Basketball is excited about it. The city's excited about it. So it was great to have that top pick, and it was great to have a really, really good class of rookies going into the year.
Yeah, and he seems just so comfortable with the spotlight. And from a business perspective, that's so big. You can see a lot of talented players, especially when they're young. It takes some coaching, if you will. And when I say coaching, I mean on the business side. I guess mentorship is a better word, to get them more comfortable with everything that it comes with sort of being the face of a franchise, whereas it seems like he's such a natural at it. You mentioned how charismatic he is, and I've noticed that too. So, yeah, it has to be such a fun time to sort of be in on the ground floor. And what I would compare it to, like, clearly the expectation for this coming season is not championship contention. Now, you never say never, but it's not the expectation. But sometimes those years, especially when you have guys that are clear building blocks for your next contender, can be the most fun. Like, I think back to you guys in the 2012-2013 season when you first got James Harden.
And younger,
you
had fast, fearless year.
Yes, there you go. There's the. I know you guys haven't done the. You haven't done the marketing rollout as far as the catchphrase for this year, right?
Not yet. When we were going through it, when you and I were kind of preparing for this call, I was like, maybe we should do it a month from now, because we have a lot. I mean, we've done a lot of things. We've got a lot of great, exciting programs launching. But about in a few weeks from now, it's going to be.
Yeah. Better, so. Well, we can potentially bring you back then for sure if you have time.
I'll have you as much as you want me. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'll keep that in mind, because, yeah, I'm sure when you guys do the unveiling, that's going to be a lot more for us to discuss. But, yeah, I look back to when in that younger, faster, fearless era, when you had James, you also had guys like Chandler Parsons, Terrence Jones, Jeremy Lin, Omer Asik. Even though you weren't expected to contend that year, fans knew that you were building something with that group. And of course, ended up being the next offseason you signed Dwight Howard, and then you were a contender from that point forward. But that year, you actually overachieved expectations. You made it to the playoffs. And that was just such a fun time to be a fan because really it wasn't that stressful. You know, it sounds great in theory to be a championship contender, and it is. That's what you want to be. But at the same time, like, there's also something negative to be said for, you know, you go to games in 2017 and 2018. The question after everything is, oh, God, how are they going to match up with the Warriors in the playoffs? You know, there's something just fun about building.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you hit on it, right? You've said the word fun multiple times, like, in this conversation. And when you're in our office and when you're talking to our fans or you're talking to our staff or you're talking to basketball or you're talking to anyone, like, that word keeps coming up. You're like, oh, this year is going to be fun. It's people are going to be able to get, you know, people are starting to gather again. We're going to host folks in our building. We've got Eric Clapton tonight for a concert. So, I mean, people come to the arena. They watch sports. They go to sporting events to have fun and to kind of take a step away from their normal life. And so when you have the picks that we have, when you have the team that we have, when we have the messaging that we have at this time, kind of in our life and in this moment, you know, that it's going to be a fun year. And when you get to be a part of people's journeys, I think that it makes it more special. It's awesome. I mean, I hope that we're having this conversation after a parade and a championship one day, but, you know, it feels like it means more to fans, right? When they were along for the journey. And so we feel like we're in the beginning of a new path and a new chapter of this franchise, and our fans and everybody are going to be able to be a part of this ride.
Yeah. And I think journey is the right word because, and this is what I was saying earlier about June 22nd and how important that is. Sometimes it doesn't feel like the journey if you're just asking fans to abstractly buy in and the payoff, be it draft picks, free agency, whatever, is years away. Now it does feel like a journey because you have several players in place that you could clearly see as being part of the next Rockets contender. And again, that's why, you know, I referenced the 2012-2013 team. I think back also a cross sport comparison, but the 2014 Astros, when Altuve and Keuchel were up, it was the first year they brought up George Springer. Carlos Correa was very close, and there weren't championship expectations. They didn't make the playoffs, but you could really see the first big steps forward, and you knew you were building something. Yet at the same time, you know, there wasn't that pressure of, okay, everything is going to be defined by what happens in the playoffs this year. It was a little more low stress. Also, there were better deals. Let's just be honest, because the demand isn't sky high like it was for you guys in 2018. So there are better ticketing promos. There is a better way, you know, if you're a true fan, to get in the building and see this team. And again, it's not like you're just sort of watching guys that are passing through and you're making a play for cap space down the line. No, you are playing guys this year, Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr., Jay Sean Tate, Christian Wood. You can go up and down the roster that are going to be a part of your future. And to me, you know, I mentioned ticketing as far as something that I think fans can reap the benefits of being sort of at the ground floor of a rebuild, if you will. I think one of the things that you guys did a great job with regarding the draft lottery was that keeping it 100 plan, which, I mean, I thought was really, really innovative. I mean, the plan, for anyone who isn't aware, it's 10 games for $100, which is a great deal no matter what. You introduced it in early June. But then the payoff was that if you get in the top four of the lottery, which you all did end up getting, of course, got number two overall, which became Jalen Green, then not only do you get the 10 games for $100, but you get a free Nike Swingman jersey as well, which that in and of itself basically cost more or less $100. So it's almost like you get the games for free now that fans, you know, now the Rockets won the lottery and thus fans sort of won the promo, if you will. But that's the sort of thing that fans can't get in on if it's 2018, demand is through the roof. That's just sort of how it works. So as I see it, you know, it's a good time to be a fan, especially financially, because there's some things you can do when you're sort of at the ground floor. And I guess it's your job as, you know, the head of business for the Rockets to sort of to put in creative things like the Keeping It 100 that sort of hit home the message to fans that, hey, this is a great time that you can take advantage of sort of this phase of the rebuild. Is that a fair way to sort of characterize and look at it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really fun. Like the keeping it 100, like the concept was you get 10 tickets for $100, right? And if things went the right way, you also got a jersey to like wear your fandom as well. Right. And so what's been really interesting and fun, like we just got the schedule, those fans that were lucky enough to get on that in on that limited promotion are starting to pick their games. And sometimes it's just one person who wants to come to 10 games and they're redeeming it for 10 different games and they're going to come and they're going to be a super fan. And sometimes it's someone redeeming 10 tickets to one game because they're going to come with their friends and family and make a night out of it. So that's really interesting for us to see the different ways that fans are using that. And, you know, you had talked earlier about Tillman owning the team and this will be his fifth year. And, you know, living through kind of the COVID world, you know, after Western Conference Finals, best record ever. And, you know, and then kind of going through COVID, coming out of this, you know, he really gets to put his stamp on things. And, you know, people forget, like, Tillman is a big Rockets fan. Like, he is one of the longest tenured Rockets season ticket holders, you know, before the family purchased the franchise that we've had. His company has always had a suite. They've always had a sponsor. Like, he is a fan. You know, he's a fan. He loves this city. He loves our fans. He wants them to be able to experience the Rockets and have fun and for, you know, the Rockets to be the fabric of this city that he loves so much. And so we're really excited about some flexibility. You mentioned it, right, on whether it's ticket plans or different promotions that you'll see throughout the year. So we just got the schedule a few weeks ago. Single game seats have already gone on sale. And then right now we're starting to program what those different promotional nights will look like throughout the year. So just stay tuned, follow us on social, check, you know, make sure you're an insider and you'll get some pretty good offers this year.
So what's sort of your pitch, if you will, and I know you're coordinating with sales as far as outreach for tickets. What's sort of your pitch to someone who, well, first off, almost no one went to games last year. I know you had limited capacity, but it feels like for a lot of people, it's basically been 2 years. What's sort of your pitch for why this is a good year to come out to games? Obviously, the team is in sort of a rebuilding phase. We talked about that leading off. Also, you've got some of the safety concerns that still exist with COVID. What's sort of the messaging, the pitch to people who are on the fence for why this is a good year to come out to Toyota Center and support the Rockets?
Yeah, I mean, moments in time only happen once, right? And you either you're either on board or you miss it, right? And for us, we really feel like these are going to be the moments this season where years from now, people are going to look back and go, remember when, right? Remember when I saw four 19-year-olds play here. Remember when I saw Jalen for the first time? Remember when I saw this happened for the first time? And so it's been, you know, you see it when you go to movies, you see it when you go to restaurants, like people are ready to kind of get back out and start living their lives again and creating these memories and these opportunities. And, you know, for a moment in time, everybody gets to gather around Toyota Center and they just want to watch their home team win, or, you know, they want to watch the beginning of something special. So we're excited about it. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. We recognize that. So there will be, you know, protocols, and we're working with the league and making sure that we're creating as safe of an environment as we possibly can, given the circumstances.
Aside from tickets and just getting people to Toyota Center, which I know is a big part of your job, and of course, maximizing their experience, you've also done some things your first few months as far as partnerships with new companies that you sort of brought into the fold with the Rockets. Credit Karma Money, as far as the jersey patch sponsor, you've got the Socios.com partnership. Talk, if you could, about why that matters in the grand scheme, because I think a lot of fans see it and they're like, well, that's nice, but what does that really mean as far as the eventual product on the floor? And just talk, if you could, about what the connection is in terms of why bringing in these types of companies is a big deal for, you know, not just boosting short-term revenues, but really just the overall long-term health of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's fans first, but we're a business also. And so making sure that we're operating really well and that we're best in class is always going to be important for sustained success, which our franchise has done, you know, year over year, decade over decade. So the two that you mentioned particularly, I think, are interesting and very cool choices, because both of their brands are really interested in kind of rewarding the fan. And I think in COVID, when you're when your whole business is, you know, based as location-based entertainment, right? Like, you can follow us on social, you can watch our games, but at the end of the day, right, like, the game and the concert is happening in our arena. And so when that can't happen during COVID, how do you stay engaged with your fans? And both of the brands that were that you talked about, Socios has a really interesting international platform that is going to allow fans to engage digitally in a way that they can't do if they're not in the home market of the team. So that's going to be interesting to see how that product develops in the U.S. Over time. And Credit Karma Money is a new line for Credit Karma. So Credit Karma has, you know, 100 plus million users, and their entire platform is to help people get to, you know, sustainable financial security. And they have tools to do that. And now they have kind of a debit card that is going to reward people for smart financial decisions and smart savings. And over time, we're going to develop ways where they can reward Rockets fans through their Instant Karma. And so if you're a fan, like, that's fun. The really good, best partnerships are engaging, you know, what they love most, which is Rockets, and introducing them to new products and services that can enhance their life.
We've been talking the first 20 minutes or so of this podcast about the exciting things, the changes for the Rockets in the 2021-2022 season, what's new on the court, off the court, in terms of players, business, what have you. I think another important component of that is marketing, because when you have this many changes, then it's important to reach out to the community, and really, in the case of the Rockets, the global fan base, because the diehards are going to follow you no matter what. But then when you have this many changes and fans aren't always familiar with the new things, the new players, whatever it is that are coming in, then it can be really hard to sustain the level of engagement to keep them, you know, active customers, keep them actively coming or watching games or whatever it is that you need from your fans. And so I think one of the interesting hires that you guys have made this offseason was Julian Duncan, and his title is Chief Marketing and Strategy Officer, right?
Correct.
Okay. And he has a lot of pedigree. He worked, I believe, with the Jacksonville Jaguars of the NFL, right?
Correct. That was the most recent.
Yeah. How important is, you know, not just Julian in particular, but I would just say the overall emphasis on marketing? Because I suspect that, you know, with what you guys have had during the James Harden era, in many cases, the team kind of marketed itself. It was always one of the best in the league. It was always a contender. Whereas now, there can be a disconnect. You've had all this turnover in terms of the roster. Obviously, Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni left, so you have a new GM, you have a new head coach. Well, now you have a new head of business operations in yourself. And
we're
so
all
to
new.
Keep, yeah, so to keep, you know, you're sort of, other than Tillman, who's been there 5 years, as you mentioned, everything is sort of turned over. So does marketing become, I guess, more important in a period like now where you really need to find some sort of way to keep the fans engaged and bought in on this process?
Yeah, I mean, I will, you know, I sort of joked around that I'm new, right? And joked around that Rafael's new, right? But I've been around for decades. Rafael's been around for 15 years. Like,
right.
Our GM of the building is here, right? Our CFO has been here for 24 years. So I think sometimes externally, whether it's the team or our business team, you know, over the last kind of 18 months, and the more familiar your team is, like, other people tell your story for you. Sometimes that can be great. That can sometimes not be great, right? Because they don't have access to all of the information all of the time. And so, you know, we have a lot of tenure. We have a lot of really good people who've been here for a long time who are still, you know, people just listening might not know their names, but they may recognize them if they see them around. At the same time, we've brought in fresh looks. Like, Coach Silas is new to our team. We've got, you know, others on the coaching staff. Julian is new, who had a little bit of experience after a handful of years with the Jaguars, who sort of understands sports marketing and the change and how quickly things can go. Prior to that, spent some time with Under Armour and a decade with Nike, and so has some really, really strong brand marketing background. And now, like you said, this year, it's a fresh team. A lot of the players are new, and we get the chance to tell their stories versus, you know, other people telling their stories. Because when you're a superstar and you're repetitive, you know, all stars, like everybody already knows who you are. So for us to market and tell something that is new and unique and different can be challenging. And now we have a team where people don't know them, right? Like they don't know, they don't always know their names. They may not know their numbers. They certainly don't always know their background. So this summer we did a mini documentary on Jayshon Tate, which was awesome, which told his story.
Definitely.
And like, as a fan, like, how do you not, this guy was a great college athlete, went undrafted, sacrificed, moved to pursue this dream. And at a time, you know, during COVID, he gets this opportunity to kind of live his NBA dream. And he's a really talented player. And our fans probably don't know who he is, right? Next week, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but next week, we think towards the end of the week, we have another similar documentary on Coach Silas's story. So it's going to be awesome. Like, you know our team, you know how good that content is. I won't say the other players because they might get the marketing team who has a whole plan on how to release this in a way that is way better than me just babbling about it. We did a few others of the guys that were on the team last year. So we have some of their content that we were able to capture throughout the year last year, and we'll be releasing that leading into the start of the season. So if you're looking for really good longer form content about your Rockets players and who these guys are living this dream, that's going to be dropping pretty soon.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, I can't wait to watch those.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Because I thought the Jayshon one was so, so well done and really hit home, not just about his personal story, but how he's grown to form this connection with Houston as well. I thought it was really, really well done. And I think you also made a really interesting point that I want to underscore, that as much as there have been these changes, there are a lot of people like yourself. You've been there 20 years and Rafael's been there 15 that are not new. I mean, certainly there are changes and there are people like Julian that are new to the organization, but it's not just like turnover for the sake of turnover. No, there's a lot of people that have been Rockets for a long time that are getting their chance in these bigger roles now. And so it's not just change for the sake of change. And it's not like the current Rockets aren't linked to all those great teams from the past 20, 30 years. No, there's people that have been there a long time, such as yourself, that are getting their opportunities in the highest profile roles now. And you know, I'm sure you, just like Rafael Stone, are ready to sort of seize the day and take advantage of that opportunity. And another interesting angle of it to me, you guys have now one of the most diverse leadership teams in the NBA, because you are one of the only women in the NBA to lead really the business operations of a franchise. I think there's less than five, I think. Is that right?
There are definitely less than five.
Yes.
Maybe by the time this airs, that won't be. No, I don't think there's any open. There's not open positions right now, but yeah.
Right. It's very small. I didn't have the exact number in front of me, but I know it's very small. And also very small is the fact that, or the number, I should say, of teams that have African-American general managers and head coaches. Like that, I believe, is less than five as well. And it's sort of a disconnect because, of course, the NBA is a majority Black league in terms of the play. You don't always see that diversity in the ranks of coaches or general managers, but with Rafael and Stephen Silas, that's one of the only combination Black general manager head coach in the entire league. And so I think between your role in, you know, just a very small number, and then Rafael, Stephen, that's a very diverse leadership team. She also mentioned that Clay Allen, who is now your general counsel as of a few months ago, I think is one of the most high profile, openly gay executives in pro sports, to my knowledge. So really, it's a very diverse leadership group. And, you know, certainly in 2021, that's welcoming to see. What message do you think that sends about, you know, the organization, ownership, that so many people from different and diverse backgrounds are taking on those types of roles?
Yeah, I mean, first, we're really proud that we have the best people, you know, for the job in all of those roles. But representation matters. Like, it's very difficult for people to come up the ranks and get opportunities if they are not seeing people that have their background, that look like them, that, you know, that have these opportunities. It's hard to hope and dream and think something is possible if you don't see it. So it's certainly important. And Houston is one of the most, if not the most diverse city. So it's really important that our leadership team, it's important that our staff, and it's important that our fans reflect, you know, this fabric of this great city.
By the way, speaking of Clay, I believe he was the person who was actually in the lottery room in Secaucus on that June 22nd day.
Yeah. He was. Yeah.
Have you talked to him about what that hour was like, in which, you know, the lottery aired at 7:30 Houston time. The actual lottery itself takes place about an hour before that. But of course, the few people, basically every franchise has one representative. It's basically like a state secret. You have to turn over your phone.
Yeah,
you can't
leave
the room.
Yeah, you turn over your phone. You're in a room. Yeah. Everybody
on Toyota Center had to be on just total pins and needles that day. Have you talked to him about what, like, that hour was like, that he knew that everything was going to be okay, but he had no way to sort of communicate to you or anybody
like,
else?
He was so separated. Like, the concept of time for him was just, it was a very surreal experience. And, you know, Clay grew up a Rockets fan. He started here as a marketing associate right out of college. He actually was a manager of promotions and left and went to law school and then had a whole law career and then got the opportunity to come back as a lawyer. So he's a big super fan at his heart also. So I'm glad he was the good luck charm. So
yeah, definitely. And of course the last piece,
Clay, it was Clay or Hakeem, like toss up.
So. There you go. Yeah. We'll give credit to Hakeem, of course. Although Hakeem was, he was at Toyota Center, right? You had to do that part.
He was,
virtually.
Yeah, we heard. Yeah. I was sitting, it was just a really small group of us. So
yeah. Gotcha. Well, the last piece of the leadership puzzle, of course, is Tillman Fertitta and really the entire Fertitta family as far as ownership. And I mentioned earlier, you've worked for Les Alexander, you've worked for Tillman. From the outside, one of the big changes, you know, when Les was the owner, the Rockets were basically the only entity that he had. They were his sole focus. Whereas with Tillman, certainly he takes his job with the Rockets very seriously, but he also has, of course, his entire Landry's portfolio, which is getting more into casinos, online gaming. He's got so many different things going on. Now, the good thing is that even if he's not physically at Toyota Center as much, certainly Paige is there, Patrick, he has family members that can help him and sort of be that owner's rep. But how is it different now with Tillman, with a boss and owner, however you want to characterize him? I know the official title is governor now, but someone that clearly he cares a lot about this franchise. As you mentioned, he's a longtime season ticket holder. He wants this team to win, but he also has all these other ventures as well. So of course that's where Paige, Patrick, other members of the family come into play. But just what is the dynamic working for him like over the last 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, when you say so, I mean, he's down the street. He's in Houston. Like he is very present and very much involved, like probably more so than in previous years with previous ownership, at least for me. My role is very different under Tillman than it was for the first 15 years of my career. But like I said before, like there is nobody in this city that loves the city as much as, you know, Tillman and the Fertittas love the city of Houston. And so they want this franchise to be a legacy and a beacon of light. And there's very few things that happen in a city as much as their sports franchise that can bring as much attention to the city of Houston as what sports teams do. They take that very seriously, both in how we program the building to make sure that we have as many concerts and as many shows to deliver a great experience for everyone here in the city, and the same thing for the team. So, and again, like he loves this team, he loves basketball, and he's a fan. And so from a fan experience standpoint, like it's great that he and his family are the steward of this franchise.
We're wrapping up here with Gretchen Scheer, new president of business operations with the Rockets. Well, I suppose not new anymore. It's been a few months, but it's the first time that I've gotten to talk to you on the podcast. So I'll consider it new, at least for us. Before we wrap up, any last words of that you want to convey to our audience as far as the team this upcoming season, the experience at Toyota Center? Basically, what message do you want to leave Rockets fans with as we get, you know, now we're basically 2 weeks or inside of 2 weeks from the start of training camp, preseason's less than 3 weeks away. What do you want fans to know as far as what to expect at Toyota Center this year and why they should be bought in on this team?
Yeah, I mean, look, in general, for any sports franchise, like the fans are the lifeblood, our season ticket holders are the lifeblood. They create, you know, our marketing team does a great job, right? But it's the fans that create the experience and, you know, and the brand that goes along with this amazing team. We don't take it lightly. We appreciate everyone. For those that are listening that know me, like, I'm very accessible. So hopefully the fans that have ideas or thoughts or feedbacks when they're here, just ping us and send us a note. We're very responsive. We want to know what our fans like. We want to know what they would like to see different. It's going to be a really fun year, and we can't wait to welcome everybody back home to Toyota Center.
Definitely, and I look forward to being back. I know I was there last year because, you know, my official media capacity, but yeah, there's just something different about having 18,000 people there as opposed to, you know, 2,500 or whatever the amount
yes.
were
yes,
last
it is.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm sure the energy, I mean, the preseason will be fun. But I'm sure the energy for the October 22nd, that's the date of the regular season opener, right?
Well, the regular season opener is the 20th, but
the
we
home
start on
opener,
the road. Yeah, so our home opener is the 22nd. So.
Yeah, and it's a Friday night, so I'm sure
it's a Friday night, so no excuses, no school. No school,
yeah,
no
and
work,
yeah, I'm sure the energy for that is going to be through the roof. Yep.
Yeah, great. We hope to see you there.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. And again, for Gretchen Shear, I'm Ben Dubose. Thanks as always for listening to the Rocket Spar Extra podcast, and we'll be back soon with another.